This morning on WCHL, will Julius Nangoro's cooperation in the Weinstein investigation get him off the hook for fraud charges? 15 more Moral Monday protesters get arrested. Investigators of the UNC student's death from Thursday need additional information before determining the cause.
There were no outward signs of foul play.
And the town council finished its session with votes to begin major areas of development, but not before more heated discussions last night.
Quit wasting your time, these folks' time, and our time.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC football coach Larry Fedora is gearing up his troops for battle with Liberty, only 60 days away. And
my good buddy Lou is on the bike ride of his lifetime.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 71 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the upper 80s. Partly sunny skies, just a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. And kind of stuck in a rut here, but not really all that bad. A prosecutor says he's considering whether to drop a felony fraud charge against a former University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill professor embroiled in the scandal involving academics and athletics. Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall says Julius Nangoro has cooperated with a probe led by former U.S. Justice Department official Kenneth Weinstein. Weinstein is looking into the causes of fraud in the formerly named African and Afro-American Studies Department, where Nangoro was chairman. Nangoro was charged with being paid to teach a 2011 lecture class filled with football players that did not meet and required only a research paper. Woodall's comments were first reported by the News and Observer. He told the Associated Press his decision could come within a week. The next hearing for five people charged with violating North Carolina's sports agent law by providing benefits to former Tar Heel football players has been delayed again until July. Orange County District Attorney Woodall says the hearing is now set for the week of July 23rd. It was scheduled for April, then pushed back to this week before being delayed once again. Prosecutors have provided tens of thousands of investigative records to defense attorneys for review. It's not clear when the case could actually go to court. A grand jury indicted the defendant September 30th for violating the state's Uniform Athlete Agent Act by providing benefits to former players Marvin Austin, Greg Little, and Robert Quinn in 2010. The defendants included Georgia-based sports agent and a former UNC tutor. 15 people have been arrested at the North Carolina Legislative Building during the last Moral Monday legislative protest this year. It happened yesterday. Police said more than 1,200 attended Monday's rally in Halifax Mall and in the Legislative Building's rotunda. The NAACP says the latest arrest yesterday put the total number of people arrested since the Moral Monday protest started last year at over 1,000 now. This week's rally included a series of seminars in the halls of the legislative building just before the House and Senate went into session that focused on how to get people to the polls this November and how to organize local protest groups. General Assembly police asked the protesters to leave shortly before the 15 arrests, saying the group was disturbing the business of the House and Senate. Governor McCrory says he's confident progress will be made this week with legislative leaders on putting together final adjustments for the North Carolina budget. McCrory said Monday that serious differences still remain between him and the two chambers on Medicaid and education. He talked to reporters as his administration issued memos directing how state agencies will have to run beginning the 1st of July. A two-year budget is already in place through mid-2015, so the state government can continue operating without a final plan to adjust the second year's spending. McCrory expects there will be agreement on forecasts for Medicaid spending and lottery revenues. McCrory also expressed his opposition to a Senate proposal that would reduce funding for thousands of teacher assistants. Chapel Hill Town Council unanimously approved a development agreement for Glen Lennox last night. The council also voted 5-3 to conditionally approve entering the negotiation phase with East West Partners, which seeks to develop 120 acres at the Obie Creek site just south of town across from Southern Village. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Make the decision tonight. Either to enter into the negotiations subject to these reports or make the decision not to enter into negotiations and quit wasting your time, these folks' time, and our time. If the potential positives of Obie Creek are not compelling enough for you to have a conversation with us, then say so, and we'll live with the existing zoning we have. We are prepared to do that.
That's developer Roger Perry of East West Partners imploring the Chapel Hill Town Council on Monday night to make a decision on whether to enter into a negotiation phase with the aspiring developer of Obie Creek. Monday night's five-hour meeting was run by Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green in the absence of Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, who was attending a mayor's conference in Dallas. The contentious Obie Creek matter was on the agenda a few items down the list from Glenn Lennox, and the mood in the room at Southern Human Services Center couldn't have been more different when each one came up. That's not to say that the Glenn Lennox redevelopment project of Grub Properties has always been a harmonious issue since it was first proposed in 2004. But on Monday night, developer Clay Grubb was praised for his collaborative approach with the town and his tenants. The proposed redevelopment will include new roads, additional housing and greenway. New office and retail space will be built along Fordham Boulevard and Raleigh Road. Molly McConnell has been a tenant of Glenn Lennox Apartments for 15 years and was once a skeptic about the development plan.
I spoke against Mr. Grubb's original plan in April 2008, and to my total amazement, he did not evict me. And I have lived in other housing where my rent doubled or my lease wasn't renewed if I bought a problem. And it makes me tearful to think about this because he was willing to talk with his tenants.
When it was time for the council to weigh in, councilperson Matt Chakowski called the Glenn Lennox process a, quote, model for other development discussions. The development agreement passed unanimously. The proposed 1.5 million square foot Obie Creek development, however, still has a long way to go. It would include 327,000 square feet of retail with the possibility of a big box anchor store. Somewhere between 600 and 700 residential units would be built, plus a hotel. All of that would cover 35 acres. The remaining 85 acres would be for public use, wilderness, and maybe a new school. There were a lot of public comments about the Obie Creek plan on Monday night, and many of them came from members of the Compass Committee appointed by the council to study and make recommendations on the proposal. All but one commenter urged the council to wait until they had analyzed data more thoroughly before moving toward negotiations with East West Partners. Chakowski agreed and added that he didn't like the way he saw the process going so far. He said that neither the council nor the developer were listening to the public.
East West Partners has never, to my knowledge anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, proposed reducing the total square footage by a single foot.
That prompted this exchange with developer Roger Perry, who did correct Chakowski on that point.
Our original concept plan that we brought you was 2.5 million. We pared that down during the last few years to 1.5 million. So it has not always been 1.5 million.
No, no.
It's down 40% from what the original
Fair enough. But the debate fundamentally is how many square feet and what mix of uses. That's the debate.
Correct. And that can only be resolved with conversation with you.
Councilperson Maria Palmer sparked another heated exchange with Chakowski when she told him that not everybody in Chapel Hill wants a smaller development.
There are people who are desperate to live in Chapel Hill, who work here, who want just a little apartment or just a place to live, and they don't think that the aesthetics of somebody who owns a piece of property a mile down and wants to look at the water tower or whatever should be uppermost in their mind. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. I have people complain to me that a tree is worth more in Chapel Hill than a family.
A motion was made by Councilperson Jim Ward to move to the negotiation phase with East West Partners, subject to receipt and review of traffic impact, fiscal impact, and environmental impact analyses. That motion carried 5-3. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A coroner's report will have to explain the cause of death of a UNC student who died last Thursday afternoon, but the Chapel Hill Police Department says it does not suspect foul play.
The investigation is ongoing. However, there was nothing to indicate to the initial investigators that there was any foul play or anything suspicious.
That is Public Information Lieutenant Josh Meesemore. He says police arrived at about 4:41 p.m. to the residence of 500 Pittsburgh Street, which is where Pittsburgh Street and Manning Drive split across the street from the UNC School of Public Health. The house is listed on Trulianne Zillow as a large single-family dwelling. Lieutenant Meesemore says when police arrived, the body of 21-year-old Harris Farr, a biomedical engineering major, was inside the residence.
There were no outward signs of foul play.
A lot of focus is on the fact that this is the second member of the Alpha Alpha chapter of the Chi Phi fraternity who's died since October of 2012. David Shannon was a pledge with the fraternity when he died in Carborough. He fell 40 feet at the ready-mix concrete facility, and the autopsy found him to have a blood alcohol concentration level of 0.22, nearly three times the legal limit. The question of foul play and hazing was raised in the Carborough police in an initial investigation. Captain Atak says at this point the investigation into the death of Shannon is inactive. He says if the department gets any leads that would require further investigation, it would look into them. However, the case is not officially closed. Another car has been given away to a very worthy recipient. We'll have that story coming up for you in a moment. WCHL News Time, 717. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Well, not a lot of activity out there this morning. Traffic very light so far this morning. Some of the usual traffic will be building up very soon on 15501 Fordham Boulevard and also the intersection with I-40 and out at the 54 exit as well. And in the park, it goes without saying that that will be a little bit of a problem. But so far, nothing serious to report. If you know of anything that's going on that we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom. You can talk with the one and only Rand Northam there, 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. However you decide to communicate, please do so safely and you become a WCHL road warrior. WCHL's traffic brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, an engagement ring, or a custom piece you've been dreaming of for years, Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Go see Berkeley Grimble at Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 71 degrees, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain continuing and low around 70. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, more of the same except a bigger chance of rain. 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. High tomorrow one more time in the upper 80s. It'll warm up a little bit on Thursday with a high around 90. And then we're back to the upper 80s for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:18. A Hillsboro woman was surprised at her lunch break yesterday with a new car paid for by UNC business students and social entrepreneurs. Dawn Shepherd walked to the parking lot of Carol Woods Retirement Community and was greeted by a host of friends, members of the Community Empowerment Fund, and a gold Chevrolet Malibu. Shepherd became immediately emotional and began praising God as Jim Kitchen handed her a new set of keys.
Excited. I'm very excited.
Jim Kitchen is a social entrepreneur and instructor of entrepreneurship and business planning at UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School, teamed up with the Community Empowerment Fund to select Dawn Shepherd as the second recipient this year of a new car. The first giveaway was also in collaboration with CEF and was done back in May.
She has really gone through a lot of things in her life, and she is she's in a transition in her life, and we thought that some reliable transportation to and from work is so important to her, and so that's why we're here today.
The Community Empowerment Fund nominated Shepherd as a deserving recipient and teamed up with Kitchen and his business students to purchase a car from Mark Jacobson Toyota. Through their trade-up project, students traded koozies for more valuable items and then sold those items to raise $5,000 for Shepherd's new car. Kitchen and his students also made sure the car came with $500 credit at a local garage for any maintenance needs Shepherd may have in the coming months. Shepherd has been involved with the Community Empowerment Fund since moving out of the women's shelter in 2011. She's battled homelessness for years and says this new car is really a blessing.
It's going to make it a lot easier where I won't have to worry about how to keep up the maintenance.
To help sponsor a saver or donate to the Community Empowerment Fund of Chapel Hill, you can find a link on our website, chapelbro.com. If you have a reliable car that you're willing to donate to someone in significant need, contact Jim Kitchen at jim@jimkitchen.org. We have that on our website if you read the story there as well. The Carborough Board of Aldermen will vote tonight on whether to ban drive-through windows at all Carborough businesses with the exception of pharmacies. Drive drive-thrus are banned downtown already, but a resolution being considered tonight would ban them in other areas of Carrboro, such as out on Highway 54. This has been a subject of lively discussion recently, both among the aldermen and members of the public weighing in on social media. Opponents of the ban say it would hurt parents of young children, people with disabilities, and businesses. Public comments will be received before a vote is taken. The meeting will take place at 7:30 tonight at Carrboro Town Hall at 301 West Main Street in Carrboro. News around town this morning. If you're a resident or business owner in Chapel Hill, don't forget you have to register your alarms with the town by the end of this month. It's the town's accidental alarm program designed to reduce the number of accidental alarm calls and place a heavy burden on Chapel Hill's emergency response crews. Registration is free, but if you don't register by July 1st, you'll be subject to a $100 penalty. The accidental alarm ordinance also imposes fines on residents and business owners for repeated false alarms within a 12-month period. The town is holding one more registration event this week on Wednesday, tomorrow, from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Cedars in Meadowmont. You can also register your alarm online or get more information by visiting townofchapelhill.org/alarms. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Head coach Larry Fedora says the UNC football team has plenty of work to do in the lead-up to the 2014 home kickoff on August 30th against Liberty. The opening of the Carolina football season will be here before you know it. Here's WCHL's Matt Oakes and a report with Larry Fedora and the crowd.
You know, we put them in as many uncomfortable situations as possible, and hopefully they'll get comfortable in those situations.
That was head coach Larry Fedora as his team gears up for a run at an ACC Coastal Crown this fall. The expectations are high for the Tar Heels this season, especially given all the returning parts and Fedora's freak show offense that's already set over 40 records since Coach Fedora's hiring. The only question mark for the offense comes at the offensive line. Coach Fedora says it's been a real struggle in that area during offseason workouts.
I think we still got a long way to go, you know, and we've got a few nicks and bruises in that area right now that are keeping some guys out that we need to get a look at, but unfortunately it's just not happening right now, so there's not a whole lot of continuity in what we're doing up there.
Coach Fedora, who has recorded 7 consecutive winning seasons as a head coach and led Southern Mississippi to a Conference USA championship before taking his post in Chapel Hill, is known for his warp speed, no-huddle offense. But in reality, it will likely be the performance of the Carolina defense that will control the Tar Heels' fates in 2014. Coach Fedora says there's been a lively competition on the defensive line to replace a standout performer like Kareem Martin, who departed for the NFL.
Getting Jesse Rogers is getting reps there, and you're getting Dwan Drennan, you know, and none of the three have a lot of experience right now. So it's fun to watch them compete.
The burning question this summer, though, is undoubtedly who will get the start at the quarterback position. Coach Fedora has been playing his cards close to his chest, but says it's an open contest for the job and assures people that the best player will prevail.
Until somebody starts stepping out ahead of the other, you know, when one guy deserves more reps, he'll get more reps.
The man at the helm of UNC came into his regime with one primary goal in mind: change the culture surrounding the football team in Chapel Hill. He aimed to make game days on Saturdays the place to be. Winning generally takes care of that. The Tar Heels already sport a 15-10 overall record through 2 seasons under Coach Fedora, and they won a Belk Bowl championship just last season. But if the questions surrounding this summer are answered, Carolina fans might be treated to something even more special: a banner year for football. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And there's two quarterbacks in the battle that Matt's talking about are Marquise Williams and Mitch Trubisky. A great problem to have, having to choose between those two. And we understand there's quite a battle going on there, and they're both really good sports about it and support each other in every way they possibly can. Well, with Carolina not going to the College World Series this season, which is kind of unusual, actually, that's another good problem to have. We haven't thought too much about college baseball recently, but it's still going on. The College World Series out in Omaha, Vanderbilt capitalized on Virginia starter Nathan Kirby's sudden loss of control to score 9 runs in the 3rd inning and then held off the Cavaliers to win 9-8 in Game 1 of the College World Series Finals last night. Commodores are now 50-20. They can win their first national championship in a men's sport with a win tonight. Tyler Campbell continued his improbable breakout for the Commodores, doubling twice in the 3rd inning. His second double came off reliever Whit Mayberry, with the bases loaded to put Vanderbilt up 9-2. Virginia is 52-15. They've got an even better record than Vanderbilt now. They chipped away at the lead last night, scoring three runs in the third, two in the fifth, and another in the eighth to make it a one-run game. But the comeback was just a little short. Adam Ravenel came on in the ninth to get the last three outs for his second save of the College World Series. So the Virginia Cavaliers still alive. Possibility of winning the national championship. College World Series going on in Omaha, Nebraska, as always. I'm Ron Stutz. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
My good buddy Lou was on the bike ride of his lifetime. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. My longtime friend Lou has a beautiful wife and two great kids. He also has a history of heart trouble in his family. His father died at 55 before he ever saw his youngest son play basketball for Rutgers. Lou decided he was going to buck the odds and live much, much longer. Always a good athlete, he changed his diet to vegan and ramped up his exercise regimen, taking up biking to protect his basketball-damaged knees. After riding for 10 years and retiring as a full-time commercial developer, Lou planned a bike trip from Key West, Florida to Bar Harbor, Maine, and asked his friends to meet him along the way to ride for a few hundred miles. Carefully mapping out the bike routes, his trip so far has taken him through the Keys to Miami and up the East Coast into Georgia, South Carolina, and home to Durham for a week break to see his family. Back on the bike, Lou made it through Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania into New Jersey, where he met his old Rutgers teammate and stayed with cousins he hadn't seen for years. He drove through the old neighborhood in Passaic and found the two houses he grew up in still standing. Then to New England, Connecticut, Newport, Rhode Island, and to Cape Cod, where a group of us met up with him in Nantucket, and after touring that exclusive island, ferried to Martha's Vineyard, where his posse had grown to about 16 riders. That's where we are now, and from here Lou will ride to my native Boston on trails I had no idea existed. He will pedal through New Hampshire and into Maine, where his 2,000-mile trek will end in Bar Harbor. He will ship his bike back to Durham and hop a plane home, finishing the trip he started back in February. He rode about half the miles by himself and the other half with small and large groups of friends who kept him company and got inspired to ride more themselves. On the way, Lou sent blog posts and pictures to a growing email list of people following him in spirit, if not on the road. It wasn't a bucket list thing for Lou because he now has lived 12 years longer than his father and feels like he can live forever. It's a tribute to his desire to beat the family odds and have such loyal friends who wanted to experience small legs of his ride of a lifetime. All who did came away feeling like they not only aided a pal, but accomplished something they would never have done on their own. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Well, that's kind of an inspiring story, and good on you, Art, for taking part in that as well. 729 at WCHL.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that 70% of the people over the age of 65 will require long-term care? Today, 1 year of long-term care is estimated to cost $75,000, and in 30 years, it will rise to $250,000. The average age of a buyer is 57, when most people can qualify for good health discounts. A long-term care policy protects you in case you lose the capacity for independent living. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
731 at WCHL, and it's 71 degrees, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Our high today, about 88 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance for showers and storms. In the evening, overnight low 70. And then tomorrow, more of the same, except a bigger chance of rain. A 50% chance of showers or thunderstorms in the afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies all day. High tomorrow in the upper 80s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Days of diplomacy in Iraq for Secretary of State John Kerry.
What we are doing is a deliberate, careful, thoughtful approach, listening to the people here, listening to the allies, listening to the partner countries in the region, and putting together something that can work.
But Kerry said U.S. airstrikes wouldn't work.
It would be a complete and total act of irresponsibility for the president just to order a few strikes, but there's no government, there's no backup, there's no military, there's nothing there that provides the capacity for success.
At the Pentagon, David Martin.
If the advisors can identify insurgent targets worth hitting without causing civilian casualties, then airstrikes could be launched from an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf.
Clarissa Wards in Baghdad says insurgents did take over Iraq's top refinery in Beji.
More than 100 Iraqi soldiers agreed to lay down their weapons in exchange for a guarantee of safe passage out of that facility.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 71 degrees, another warm day on the way. I'm Rod Stutz. A prosecutor says he's considering whether to drop a felony fraud charge against a former University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill professor embroiled in a scandal involving academics and athletics. Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall says Julius Nangoro has cooperated with a probe led by former U.S. Justice Department official Kenneth Weinstein. Weinstein is looking into the causes of fraud in the formerly named African and Afro-American Studies Department, where Nangoro was chairman. Nangoro was charged with being paid to teach a 2011 lecture class filled with football players that did not meet and required only a research paper. Woodall's comments were first reported by the News and Observer of Raleigh. He told the Associated Press his decision could come within a week. The next hearing for five people charged with violating North Carolina's sports agent law by providing benefits to former Carolina football players has been delayed until July now. Orange County DA Woodall says a hearing is now set for the week of July 23rd. It was scheduled for April and pushed back to this week before being delayed once again. Prosecutors have provided tens of thousands of investigative records to defense attorneys for review. It's not clear when the case could reach a trial. A grand jury indicted the defendant September 30th of last year for violating the state's Uniform Athlete Agent Act by providing benefits to former players Marvin Austin, Greg Little, and Robert Quinn. That was way back in 2010. The defendants include a Georgia-based sports agent and a former UNC tutor. 15 people were arrested yesterday at the North Carolina Legislative Building during the last Moral Monday legislative protest. Police said more than 1,200 attended yesterday's rally on Halifax Mall and in the legislative building's rotunda. The NAACP says the latest arrest, but the total number of people arrested since Moral Monday started last year at over 1,000 now. This week's rally included a series of seminars in the halls of the legislative building just before the House and Senate went into session that focused on how to get people to the polls in November and how to organize local protest groups. North Carolina General Assembly police asked the protesters to leave shortly before the 15 arrests, saying the group was disturbing the business of the House and Senate. Governor Pat McCrory says he's confident progress will be made this week with legislative leaders on putting together final adjustments for the North Carolina budget. McCrory said Monday that serious differences still remain between him and the two chambers on Medicaid and also education. He talked to reporters as his administration issued memos directing how state agencies will have to run beginning July 1. A two-year budget already is in place through mid-2015, so the state government can continue operating without a final plan to adjust the second year's spending. We don't have to worry about a shutdown here. McCrory expects there will be agreement on forecasts for Medicaid spending and lottery revenues. McCrory also expressed his opposition to a Senate proposal that would reduce funding for thousands of teacher assistants. Chapel Hill Town Council unanimously approved a development agreement for Glen Lennox on Monday night. The council also voted 5-3 to conditionally approve entering the negotiation phase with East West Partners, which seeks to develop 120 acres of the Obi Creek site just south of town. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Make a decision tonight, either to enter into the negotiations subject to these reports or make the decision not to enter into negotiations and quit wasting your time, these folks' time, and our time. If the potential positives of Obi Creek are not compelling enough for you to have a conversation with us, then say so, and we'll live with the existing zoning we have. We are prepared to do that.
That's developer Roger Perry of East West Partners imploring the Chapel Hill Town Council on Monday night to make a decision on whether to enter into a negotiation phase with the aspiring developer of Obie Creek. Monday night's five-hour meeting was run by Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green in the absence of Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, who was attending a mayor's conference in Dallas. The contentious Obie Creek matter was on the agenda a few items down the list from Glenn Lennox, and the mood in the room at Southern Human Services Center couldn't have been more different when each one came up. That's not to say that the Glenn Lennox redevelopment project of Grubb Properties has always been a harmonious issue since it was first proposed in 2004. But on Monday night, developer Clay Grubb was praised for his collaborative approach with the town and his tenants. The proposed redevelopment will include new roads, additional housing and greenway. New office and retail space will be built along Fordham Boulevard and Raleigh Road. Molly McConnell has been a tenant of Glenn Lennox Apartments for 15 years and was once a skeptic about the development plan.
I spoke against Mr. Grubb's original plan in April 2008, and to my total amazement, he did not evict me. And I have lived in other housing where my rent doubled or my lease wasn't renewed if I bought a problem. And it makes me tearful to think about this because he was willing to talk with his tenants.
When it was time for the council to weigh in, Councilperson Matt Chakowski called the Glenn Lennox process a, quote, model for other development discussions. The development agreement passed unanimously. The proposed 1.5 million square foot Obie Creek development, however, still has a long way to go. It would include 327,000 square feet of retail with the possibility of a big box anchor store. Somewhere between 600 and 700 residential units would be built, plus a hotel. All of that would cover 35 acres. The remaining 85 acres would be for public use, wilderness, and maybe a new school. There were a lot of public comments about the Obie Creek plan on Monday night, and many of them came from members of the Compass Committee appointed by the council to study and make recommendations on the proposal. All but one commenter urged the council to wait until they had analyzed data more thoroughly before moving toward negotiations with East West Partners. Chakowski agreed and added that he didn't like the way he saw the process going so far. He said that neither the council nor the developer were listening to the public.
East West Partners has never, to my knowledge anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, proposed reducing the total square footage by a single foot.
That prompted this exchange with developer Roger Perry, who did correct Chakowski on that point.
Our original concept plan that we brought you was 2.5 million feet. We pared that down during the last few years to 1.5 million. So there has not always been 1.5 million.
No, no.
It's down 40% from what the original.
Fair enough. But the debate fundamentally is how many square feet and what mix of uses. That's the debate.
Correct. And that can only be resolved with conversation with you.
Councilperson Maria Palmer sparked another heated exchange with Chakowski when she told him that not everybody in Chapel Hill wants a smaller development.
There are people who are desperate to live in Chapel Hill, who work here, who want just a little apartment or just a place to live, and they don't think that the aesthetics of somebody who owns a piece of property a mile down and wants to look at the water tower or whatever should be uppermost in their mind. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. I have people complain to me that a tree is worth more in Chapel Hill than a family.
A motion was made by Councilperson Jim Ward to move to the negotiation phase with East West Partners, subject to receipt and review of traffic impact, fiscal impact, and environmental impact analyses. That motion carried 5-3. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Carrboro Board of Aldermen will vote tonight on whether to ban drive-through windows at all Carrboro businesses with the exception of pharmacies. Drive-throughs are banned downtown already, but a resolution being considered tonight would ban them in other areas, such as out on Highway 54. This has been a subject of lively discussion recently, both among the aldermen and members of the public who've been weighing in on social media. Opponents of the ban say it would hurt parents of young children, people with disabilities, and businesses. It's not always convenient to get out of the car. Public comments will be received before the vote. The meeting will take place at 7:30 tonight at Carrboro Town Hall at 301 West Main Street in Carrboro. WCHL News Time 7:40. Coming up next, we'll talk with Rand Northam about what's happening in our website today, chapelboro.com. A lot of activity on there. And also, Libby Huff says that we are all a part of the same community. We're all part of the Orange County community, and we should keep that in mind. That's today's commentary in WCHL. Rand, what's happening at our website today?
Well, you remember Ellie Kinnaird talking last week, and she said, developers are terrible, and all these developments are terrible. And then she expressed what she was really talking about.
Being facetious.
That's right.
She's saying developers are not the bad guys.
Exactly. So if you missed that commentary at all, you can read it on our website, chapelroyal.com. It is now posted.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. She started off very, giving that side of the story and then expressing how she really felt.
Yeah.
Pretty neat way of doing that.
Yeah, she was really adamant about that when she was in here.
Well, lots of discussion, as you heard from the town council meeting last night, lots of discussion about the development going on right now in Chapel Hill. Also, I think you heard that Hog Day was canceled this year. Well, the Eflin Ruritan Club had other things to say about that.
Yeah.
That's where the Hog Day 2014 was held, and we've got pictures up from our photo gallery from that. Susan Murray made it out to Hog Day, and it was great to have it back this year. We have not missed a Hog Day yet.
They picked up the banner and carried it over to Eflin.
That's right.
Instead of Hillsborough, they did it in Eflin and had a great time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've also got a lot of great events going on in and around Chapelboro. We've got a calendar page that brings a lot of those events to you, and you can find it. There's a link up on the top of our website, chapelboro.com, that takes you right to the calendar page, so we hope that you will visit that as well. All of this and much more is available on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
I just can't get over all those great photo galleries on there. So many. I mean, it's amazing. If you've been to anything, any kind of a public event as of late, you're probably on that photo gallery somewhere.
That's true. And you might make it in our top 100 names as well that are up on the website, right on the front page, the top 100 names that have appeared in the last few days or so.
If you want to know what's going on in the community, go to chapelbrew.com, a community portal for everybody, and you're certainly welcome to write a column or do a commentary on the radio, which will appear there as well, and a whole lot of things you can do with our website. And as you mentioned, there's always instantly live streaming from wherever you are in the world.
That's right.
You can listen to us.
You got it. Hey, Ron, have you heard there's been a few more shootings lately in Chapel Hill? People have been talking about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And we sent one of our reporters out to ask the WISOs if people are more concerned about shooting. So we'll hear that coming up in just a bit.
That's on What You're Saying on the Street right after today's commentary on WCHL.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. Join me at Keenan Stadium on Friday, July 4th for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions, the Town of Chapel Hill's July 4th Celebration. Performing live at 7:30 p.m., the Triangle's very own Bull City Syndicate, plus a 4th of July fireworks extravaganza at 9:30. Gates open at 7. Get there early for DSI Comedy Theater's July 4th Watermelon Eating Contest. I'll be there as your master of ceremonies. Donations encouraged at the gate. For more info, log on to townofchapelhill.org/July4.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Thank you, Coach. 7:45 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Libby Huff. I live in the greater Orange County community. My home is in rural Orange, and my office is in historic Hillsborough. I shop there and in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. For too long, many of us, myself included, have seen ourselves as residents and municipalities in competition with one another. We have two chambers of commerce, two school systems, numerous economic development officers, and the list goes on. As someone who is a longtime dweller in this place, and I have no plans to leave, I advocate that we see ourselves as one county. That doesn't mean merge schools or chambers, although it could someday. Instead, I'm asking us to look at what we're doing to support economic development today to better the lives of all who live here, and doing so in a coordinated and collaborative fashion. More business means we can offer jobs to those here at home, whether it be in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, or our little slice of Mebane. More business means we can continually improve our schools while doing more for emergency management services, social services, libraries, and the like. More business means we can have homes that are affordable, really affordable. Throughout our county, there are people who are hurting, those who lack heat and health care, those who cannot read or do not have transportation to the store or doctor, those who are physically or mentally ill yet receive no treatment. And yet in our midst, we have a great public university and hospital, a stellar community college, two fantastic K-12 school systems, and a bunch of bright and passionate people. In other words, we're smart enough to figure this out. Economic development is a social justice issue. We're also wise enough to support such efforts in a way that is consistent with who we are here in the greater Orange County community. I ask you to give thought to what it means to be one community and how we can all rally around economic development as one way to keep that community healthy and thriving. This is Libby Huff.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Morgan Alderman. Recently, there has been an increase in local shootings, as early Sunday morning, a shooting occurred near the 100 block of Franklin Street. The shooting was small and isolated, and no one was killed. However, the increase in violent gun-related behavior can leave individuals in the community feeling unsafe. We hit the streets to see what you think.
My name is Joyce, and I'm a Carrboro resident. I do feel reasonably safe in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, but I definitely am aware of places I would not want to go at night or want to go by myself at night particularly.
My name is Eric. I live in Chatham County, and I don't know that I've never not felt safe in Chapel Hill.
My name is Sarah, and I feel absolutely, utterly safe in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. I walk everywhere, and everyone I meet is helpful and friendly and loving, and I adore it here.
I'm Sunny Osment. I live in Chapel Hill. I do still feel safe in Chapel Hill. However, I think we do need to have stricter gun control across the nation and stricter background checks and things of that sort.
Do you still feel safe in Chapel Hill?
Hannah Hodge, Chapel Hill. I mean, I do feel safe, but I think that there have been a lot of communities where people have felt safe and then shootings have occurred. So, you know, I think there's still a real demand for national gun control and that no one can really foresee shootings happening. So I feel safe until, like, unfortunately, that safety is proven wrong.
Hi, my name is Karen Griffiths. I live in Carrboro. I do not as safe as I used to. I used to never lock our doors. Now we do, but I do have a big dog and that helps me to feel safe.
Leah Scroggs and I live in Chapel Hill and I still feel safe here.
My name is Jeremy and I feel safe in Chapel Hill.
My name is Bernice Hollett and I just recently moved to Chapel Hill and I feel a lot safer here in Chapel Hill than where I was, you know, because I'm originally from Charlotte.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. We asked their children, too. Here's what Francis George had to say.
Last year, my mom and dad were living in Michigan, and my father was in very poor health at the time, and we were all really worried about him. I was watching the attention that he was getting at the hospital, and they said, well, we've done all that we can. We have to discharge you, and here's a list of nursing homes that you can take him to in case mom can't handle him. And I said, that's it. I got them down to the Cedars, and the staff attended to all of his needs, and mom didn't have to worry about making meals or cleaning the house or getting transportation or driving around. And she could just focus on dad and his recovery. And within a few short weeks, everything turned completely around. I think it was a miracle. Dad regained his health and his independence. I never dreamed I would see my parents so active and vibrant and engaged in life again. I'm really glad that I chose the Cedars.
Thanks, Francis. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Trust. In the dry cleaning business, trust is what you expect. Hi, this is Brenda Honeycutt. And for more than three decades, our family-owned and operated business has been earning the trust of our loyal customers. I invite you to find out why so many Chapel Hill families trust their everyday and hard-to-handle items with us. Plaza Dry Cleaners on Elliott Road in the Whole Foods Shopping Center. Plaza Dry Cleaners. Improve your image. Come clean with us.
Hi. I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Time for traffic and weather together. Our traffic report brought to you by Grimble Jewelers.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound, seeing some delays between Ephesus Church Road and Garrett Road. The heaviest southbound between Garrett Road and I-40. NC-54 heading eastbound right now between Ephesus Church Road and I-40. Also seeing some minor to moderate delays. Nothing major there. I-40 moving smoothly. And if you see anything else that we're not reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
Traffic brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. If you need an engagement ring or the custom piece you've been dreaming of for years, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods, so very easy to find. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, 71 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 70 in Carrboro, also 71 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s, kind of the weather you would expect. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain and mostly cloudy after midnight, especially overnight low 70. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy day, 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. And the high tomorrow, one more time, in the upper 80s. 753 WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now with the word of the day. Dr. Pond, I'm putting on my intellectual hat so I can just keep up with you.
I'd prefer that you put on your pan stick rather than your intellectual hat.
My what?
Pan stick, my man. That is the word of the day.
Hmm.
P as in Paul, P-A-N, followed by stick, S-T-I-C-K. P-A-N-S-T-I-C-K. Now, what your legion of listeners doesn't know, Ron, is that every morning you get made up before you go on the air at the radio station,
All right? Yeah, I spend at least 45 minutes in the chair while they work on me.
Or is it made out? No, made up, made out? Which is it? Either way, pan stick, that's part of the drill, folks. Pan stick is a noun, a kind of matte cosmetic foundation. Widely used in theatrical makeup. I can just see Ron in the makeup chair getting ready to go on the air.
None of what he just said is true because I, as I have mentioned many times before, have the perfect face for radio.
You do indeed. You do indeed. With or without pan stick. All right, one more time. P-A-N-S-T-I-C-K.
Mm-hmm.
Pan stick, a noun, a kind of cosmetic foundation in sticky, gooey, yucky form used in theatrical makeup. Try some of that on Rand, why don't you?
Yeah, I think I will. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
All right, pal. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Be a good boy.
Have a good day. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? I don't know. Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it. Define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:55. I got the clean joke of the day for you. And people send these in. You can email me if you like, rstutz@wchl.com. You got a good clean joke. Got to be one we can tell on the radio. A woman walks into the drugstore and asks for arsenic. What do you want that for? The pharmacist asks. I want to kill my husband, she replied. He's having an affair with another woman. I can't sell you arsenic to kill your husband, the pharmacist said, even if he is cheating. The woman pulls out a picture of her husband with the pharmacist's wife. The druggist turns pale and then replies, oh, I didn't realize you had a prescription.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Katie Thompson works with Habitat for Humanity of Orange County, and she's today's WCHL hometown hero. This past weekend, Habitat celebrated its 30th anniversary here.
We're really looking to help people find affordable homes. There's so many people who work here, maybe at the grocery store, at the university, who just have to live outside of Orange County because they can't find a safe, affordable place for their families here. So we're working with families to help build them homes that they then purchase from us at a rate that they can afford. And I think really 30 years to us is a testament to the community. We have all of these volunteers, all of these supporters. We had 2,000 volunteers work with us in the past year, and just speaks to their drive to come out and help their neighbors.
We talk about affordable housing and the lack thereof. The whole concept is based on sweat equity. The people who get these houses actually put a lot of work into them.
You bet. We were actually just talking about a homeowner who worked 6 days a week, and on his one day off, he was out at the construction site putting in that sweat equity time. So really working 7 days a week, and he put in 325 hours. So that's really quite a lot when you look at it and think about how you spend your time.
And what does Katie Thompson do for Orange County Habitat for Humanity?
I am doing fundraising and working with volunteers. I also volunteer with our family selection committee, and that's a real great way to see the families that end up buying these houses and see how hardworking they are. And we had 80 families pick up applications for our Habitat homes. And sadly, we only can choose two of those families moving forward. So it's just a testament to the need that's out there and that there's still families who are looking for a place to live.
Is this something that you've always wanted to do?
When I was in college, I went on a trip and worked after Katrina hit and saw the work that Habitat was doing down there and really saw the need there was. So it's just a joy.
Any discussion about Habitat for Humanity of Orange County has to include a few good words about Susan Levy.
You bet. Susan Levy has been our executive director for over 20 years, and she is really the heart and soul. If you ask anyone, they know that she has been leading this mission, and she is so passionate for what we do, and she takes such care for the people that we're working with. Whenever we can thank Susan, we love to do that.
Would you like to volunteer or contribute? It's easy to find out more.
Visit us on our website. That's orangehabitat.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook.
Katie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Ron.
Katie Thompson, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
71 degrees in Chapel Hill, and it's going to be rather warm today. High today in the upper 80s. There's a 20% chance of rain late in the day. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
U.S. efforts in Iraq.
Trying to move this process forward in the focused, disciplined way.
Congressional battle over IRS emails.
I asked a question
and I answered it.
The vitamins in fortified cereal.
Too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. For a second straight day, Secretary of State Kerry is in Iraq. His meeting with Kurdish leaders, the latest in the effort to quell a surge by Sunni militants.
What we are doing is a deliberate, careful, thoughtful approach, listening to the people here, listening to the allies, listening to the partner countries in the region, and putting together something that can work.
For now, the U.S. is rebuffing calls for airstrikes, but the option is still on the table. Militants now control the country's largest oil refinery. CBS's Clarissa Ward is covering this battle for Iraq.
We travel to the conservative Shiite enclave of Sadr City, home to the Mehdi